Thank you. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles with you this evening, you can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. I would like to see Ricky on this corner and Danny Jack on that corner. In New York, handing out tracts. Wouldn't that be a wonderful sight? I allotted time for our Italian friends to share with us tonight. So when you look at the clock and you think, oh no, it's a quarter to and the preacher's just starting, we're going to be here till 10 after 7, oh no. Don't worry, I can talk fast, and I want to look at something, just a reminder, devotionally this evening. I thumbed through a book. I was given three or four. They're books of message outlines. I don't look at them very often, but I picked one up and I just happened to be reading through, and it had spoken of three judgments, and I just taped it here in my daytimer. Sometimes I don't like to quote anyone, because if they discovered that I said that they said what I said they said, they wouldn't have said that at all, and they would say, don't ever quote me again. So this is not exactly what they said, but something along those lines. There was three judgments coming, and I started to think about that. And I just wanted to remind you tonight, and devotionally in a sense, and when we speak devotionally, or when I do at least, it's just the idea that, Lord, I appreciate my position in Christ. I appreciate tonight that although I was born in sin, that I was born lost. That any righteousness that I could claim would be as filthy rags before the Lord. And I've thought about this so many times as a believer, especially when you see a believer sin and when I sin. We fail to remember that there's no such thing as sin that isn't judged. I believe in the security of the believer, don't you? Once we're born again, we can't lose our salvation, and somehow we seem to think that because that's the case, any sin that I commit, well, no one's judged for that. There's two ways in which our sin is judged. My fellowship with other believers is broken when I sin. My fellowship with God is broken when I sin. And although it happened 2 millenniums ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was judged for my sin. As it was the law in those days, Roman law suggested that when someone was condemned to death, that their indictment had to be nailed to the cross. And isn't it interesting, the sign that was nailed on the cross of Christ, Jesus, King of the Jews. But I want to tell you tonight, your sin was nailed to his cross. Christ died for you. And I wanted to remind you very quickly tonight that judgment is coming. Let's just pray. Again, Father, thank you tonight for who you are. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord God, that you love us tonight. And as we look this morning, as we've heard even in song, that sometimes we can be standing in a place and we wish we were somewhere else. And that when the calm is gone and the storm arrives and difficulties come into our lives, dear God, that we can trust you, that you are very near, that you are within us, that you love us and understand us and know us, and that we can trust you. And I pray, dear God, tonight that we would just be reminded and be concerned for how we live our lives before a lost and dying world, and, Lord, also that there are folks that we know who are lost. And the judgment is coming. In Christ's name, amen. A difficult title. I just entitled this, Judgment is Coming. I'm having a little bit of difficulty seeing. It's one of the problems with being me. I asked the Lord to give me a tender heart, and he went to extremes. He's like the... Don't laugh too hard. I can also be very tough and very mean. So, I can remember we had a neighbor who was of a Pentecostal persuasion, and she was healed. She limped very bad. Her name wasn't Eileen, but she leaned. Because one leg was longer than the other. And her husband suggested that the Lord had healed her, and God heals so well, said it used to be her left leg was longer than her right, and then after she was healed, now her right leg was longer than the left. That the Lord healed it to extreme, made it too long. And I thought, you know what? You're a preacher, but you're a very stupid person to say something like that. But here we are today, and I want to just mention and remind you that judgment is coming. Do you know that I believe from all the signs that I see and as we look around, that we're very close to the rapture? One of these days could be tonight. Wouldn't it be interesting if you could halfway across the Atlantic leave? Rapture would take place. Plane would crash. That's not nice. Maybe it wouldn't. All Christians on that plane knew it's then it would crash for sure. Can you imagine? Flying the thing, no one's in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to start here, just read a few familiar passages tonight. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are comforting words. Tribulation is coming. Problems are coming. Difficulties are coming. The world is going to be judged. The nations are going to be judged. And before that event takes place, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in accordance with John chapter 14, he's in my Father's house building a mansion, and the mansion gets ready, the betrothal is over, the marriage takes place, and Christ comes and takes his bride home. It says to comfort one another with these words. It's comforting, but it's also a very horrible thought for those who would be left behind. I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked man be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and all signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received, past tense, not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Do you know, by the authority of this passage, when you stop and think and you look around of those who may be in our midst and have heard the gospel over and over and over again and have rejected Christ, when the rapture takes place and the Antichrist comes, God will send them strong delusion. They cannot be saved. They will believe the lie. The one who is Antichrist, who's after the power and working of Satan, who replaces in his mind, who pretends to be Christ, they will believe that he's the very Christ. I want to tell you it's important that we get the word of God out tonight, and that we share God's word with those who are lost and dying among us. Because a day will come, even as they live, if the rapture takes place, opportunity will be lost and opportunity will be gone. They'll believe the lie. It's a sad day when somebody, and I went, well, the real truth of the matter is, if you want to take that a step farther in your thinking, people who have heard the gospel and would die before the rapture, Do you know that they die lost because they believe a lie? They believe I'm safe. They believe I don't need to be saved, and they refuse or whatever to believe the truth. A couple of other passages that I want to look at just as a reminder tonight, Matthew chapter 24. I was reminded of this morning. One of the things that gets interesting as you teach theology and think about theology, and one of the things that becomes confusing sometimes, theologically speaking, is the fact that there are two groups who are God's elect. One would be the Jews, one would be the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the building of Christ, the brotherhood of Christ, the church. When you get to Matthew chapter 24, and when you read about the events that would take place following the rapture, when you get to Matthew chapter 24, the rapture has already taken place. When you look at the synoptic gospels, Matthew was written as Christ, about Christ as being the Messiah, as being king. Mark, he was a servant. Luke was a doctor. He was a man. The Gospel of John was written from the point of view that Christ was deity. This is the gospel to the Jews. It's about their Messiah. There are things here in Matthew's gospel that aren't in other gospels. But it's interesting here when we get in verse 5, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Verse 22. "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." It would be the nation of Israel whose Messiah is about to come. Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 44, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And as I look at this passage and I think, 7 years following the rapture, the second advent will take place. The Lord Jesus Christ will return 7 years after the rapture. And some of the signs and some of the wonders and some of the things that will take place during those 7 years have already begun. Do you know there's earthquakes in divers places? Do you know there's pestilences and strange things weather-wise and otherwise taking place on the planet Earth today? Nations have risen against nation. Wars and rumors of wars are taking place already. And the signs of the second advent of Christ have already begun, and the rapture hasn't taken place yet. That tells me that in some moment very near to the present time that our Savior, the bridegroom, cometh. And we need to keep in mind that judgment is coming. The little note that I read and decided I would share with you tonight just a little bit mentions three judgments. We were looking the other day at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It talks about the judgment of the church, or the judgment seat of Christ. As believers, we know that the judgment seat of Christ does not have to do with sin. It doesn't have to do our sins. The matter of sin is covered for us. Our sins are cast, as it were, into the depths of the sea, behind God's back, out of sight, out of mind. Colossians says they're blotted out, to be remembered no more. But those works, those things that we do, the things we do in the flesh will be burned by fire as wood, hay, and stubble. The things that we do in the Spirit, or the things we do that the Lord leads us to do, will be purged by fire and will survive the purging, will be brought forth as gold, silver, and precious stones. And it's interesting as you get through the book of the Revelation and you read that the Lamb of God who is worthy One day we will bow to Him, and the crowns that we receive, that we will give them back and give them to Him, because only He is worthy. Our very salvation depends on what Christ has done for us. So our works will be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew 25, let's just turn there. In verse 32. I'm going to back up to verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Imagine the day when the Lord Jesus Christ does come, the battle of Armageddon is fought, and Christ sits on the throne of David, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. As we read through this, and as Christ returns, and you look in Zechariah, it speaks of the nation of Israel who cried out, "Crucify Him, His blood be on us and on our children," we'll be saying. But they recognize Him whom they have pierced. And Christ will be their King, and they will be His people. And the nations will be judged under the mighty hand of a righteous judge, God, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's judgment is coming. And lastly, I wanted to look tonight and just remind you the judgment of the dead, Revelation chapter 20. I've thought about this so many times, that we talk about the fact and we think about the fact as believers. When we looked in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the issue of the rapture, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we know, and I don't want to go there tonight for time's sake, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about a temporary body for us until we get our new bodies, and this body doesn't go to be with the Lord. This body goes back to the dust, and we receive new bodies, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But those who have gone to be with the Lord already are now with Him. And so on. But on resurrection morning, when they get a new body, and the bride of Christ is gathered together in the clouds, and we think of that as a great and wonderful time. But did you ever think of the dead lost? Those who died 2,000 years ago, those who died 15 minutes ago, those who died 10 years ago, in the torments of a Christless hell, momentarily at the great white throne judgment, the same as the antithesis or the other side of the flip side of the coin for the believer at the rapture, would be the damned at the great white throne judgment. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want to tell you, the dead in Satan will rise. And they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to read just a few more verses and we'll close. Revelation chapter 20, beginning to read in verse 11. I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to tell you, judgment is coming, and we need to be reminded that although, as believers, our sins are covered, we don't have to go to bed tonight worried that we'll be lost because of some sin. But judgment is coming. One day we will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be tried. But think about the nations. Think about those who have refused and who have rejected Christ during the tribulation period. Think of those who have refused and rejected Christ, the dead in Christ, or the dead in Satan who will be raised at that great white throne of judgment. And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Just a reminder tonight that our work as believers is very important, because there's people that you know and there's people that I know, as they stand right now, unless they're born again, will stand at this judgment that we're speaking of. Maybe they'll live through a portion of the tribulation, following a false Christ, and then be lost forever. Just a reminder, judgment is coming. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for these solemn words that you have written in your word. And dear God, that you'd give us the grace to take them seriously, even though we live in luxury. Dear God, we live in a rich land, and we don't realize all that we have. We don't appreciate all that we have. Thank you, dear God, that we have your word in our language. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can fellowship together with, and we can enjoy a time living separated lives from the world. And I just pray, dear God, that we would think on these things. Thank you for Ezekiel chapter 3, that we would realize that we're a watchman tonight, and that we would take our position seriously. Thank you for who you are tonight. We praise you tonight in Christ's name. Amen.